Kirk. Chapter 12. So I hope, I hope you understand that song about going to the rock. You know, that passage that we read told us that if you would come before it crushed, if you would come before the rock broken, then you could be healed. But if you wait for that rock to fall on you, you know, it's a reference to the book of Daniel. Anybody remember the book of Daniel and the statue dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and that rock that was cut without hands rolled down the mountain and hit that statue, and the statue crumbled when the rock hit its feet? You don't want that to be you. You don't want the rock to crumble you. What you need to do is you need to come before Jesus Christ, the rock of salvation, and kneel before Him and understand what salvation is. And if you don't, there are several people here who can help you know what that really means. But today we're going to be in Mark chapter 12, and around 13 or so, we see some things about Jesus is he's talked to them. He talked to them about the vineyard and what they did, and the Pharisees, they come to him in verse 13. And if you would just read along with me, and it says, and then they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man. You know, that's pretty good to understand when you're going to come before Jesus trying to get him in a trap, that he doesn't really consider them any better than anyone else. And he says, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? So that's the question that they ask. But he, Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it, and he saith unto them, whose image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. And I don't know if that causes you to marvel, but Jesus said a lot with just a couple of words right there. And we're going to talk about those in details this morning. So if you would, pray with me. Dear Lord, I just want to ask that you would allow us to be driven by your Holy Spirit, and that our minds will be tuned into your words this morning, that you will help us to understand what these should mean to us. How do we apply these to our life? So we ask, Lord, that you would just guide us. Lord, would you give me the right words to speak? And for your people who are under the sound of my voice, that you will be with them, Lord. I don't know what's going on in all their lives, but I know, Lord, that you do. And I ask for your hand to be on them, for you to bless them with the knowledge of your word this morning, that they may be able to understand what it is that you would have them to do with their life, and just guide them, Lord, in the understanding of your word and the applying it to their lives. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So he gets to this portion right here, and he says, and he takes a penny. You know, I wasn't even thinking about it, but I actually have a penny in my pocket. Now, you probably won't be able to see it, but you can know for sure it is a penny. It's got Abe Lincoln on it. I'm not sure if that's what Abe Lincoln looked like. It says 1975, and on the top it says, In God We Trust. And then on the back it says, United States of America, 1 cent. And it has the Lincoln Memorial on it. And that's what one of our pennies looks like. And Jesus says, should they come to him and say, should we pay tribute? Should we pay taxes? Well, you got to understand that the Jews, they were in a lot of rebellion, and they thought that the Romans were that they were people who were conquering them, that they were living on their land, and they really wanted them to leave. You know, that's what they wanted their Messiah to do, was to kick out the Romans and to make everything like it was during the days of David and Solomon. That's what they were. So they asked Jesus, should we pay taxes to the Roman government? And you know, a lot of people, even Christians, they ask that same question. Should we pay taxes to the United States government? Well, if Jesus would hear, he would say, show me a penny. And you would take it out, and he's like, Who's that on the penny? Lincoln. It's got the memorial. Where are these things at? They just happen to be in Washington. I thought about pulling out a dollar. When you pull out a dollar, it says Washington on it. That just happens to be the guys who like to collect a lot of money from us, right? And if you don't pay taxes, what happens? Is it okay? You're going to get away with it. Man, just pay your taxes if you want to. That's what they do, right? I can remember, you know, we bought a vehicle, and it wasn't our fault. The place that we bought the vehicle from, they messed up on the paperwork. They didn't get it to us within 30 days. So I went to the revenue office 31 days after I got the paperwork, because that's when I got it. You know, I got it on Saturday. Well, guess what? They're not open on Saturday. I had to wait till Monday. Monday was 31 days. They charged me extra. Right? Not my fault. Did they care? Nope. And they said, well, you've got to pay it. If you want your money back, go talk to them. But you've got to pay us. They charged me. We have to pay our taxes. And I didn't put up too much of a fuss. I wasn't happy about it. I thought I was giving them too much, as it was. But the scriptures actually teach us that we should pay our taxes. And I know this isn't a message that you want to know, but I want to make a point. Because there's not a single person here that's going to say, oh, I'm not going to pay my taxes and you're going to get away with it. They're going to come looking for you. You drive around in a car without tags, you're going to get caught. Old Smokey's going to get you. He's going to come looking for you. They're going to put your name on a list. You're not going to get away with it. Look with me in Romans chapter 13. I want to show you a couple of things. This really isn't about the whole message, but I want you to know that it is honorable to honor the place where you live, regardless if you like them or not. The Jews did not like the Romans. And Jesus said, whose scripture on it? Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Look in 13 of chapter of Romans, verses 6 and 7. He says, for this cause pay ye tribute also. So Paul also says, pay tribute. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You know what that means? That means that the President of the United States, that we should honor him regardless if we like him or not. The Governor of Arkansas, we should honor him regardless of whether we like him or not, because of the position. And a lot of these things have to do with position. And the Scripture says that you should do those things. Now, what is really going on in this? Paul tells us, look back in verse 1 here, chapter 13 of Romans. It says, but let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be ordained of God. So basically what we see in here is that these higher powers, they are the government, and they are ordained of God. Does that make sense? Governments are ordained of God. God gives them to us. You look, where does the scripture say that? Well, you go all the way back to Genesis. When Noah came off the ark, God instructs Noah. Government is going to be the thing that kind of rules. Because if you don't have government, then you have anarchy. You just can't have people doing everything that's right in their own eyes, because all they care about are themselves. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They just care about themselves. Government is supposed to do something different. They are supposed to care about the welfare of the people. Now, there are some things that the Scripture says whenever the governments go away from that, but most governments care about the welfare of the people, mainly because if you don't have money, they don't have money. So whatever keeps the ball rolling, I guess that's what we have to deal with. You know, if you stay under my teaching too much, I call it the system of the beast. I feel like the devil is kind of running the show, but he's handicapped because God is in control. Yeah, maybe the devil can control the governments to a point, but God's hand is on everything, and what the devil means for evil, God can use for good. And if he gets out of line with one of his governments, his hand will come on the scene and take care of some business. That's what happened with Hitler in Germany. They got out of control. They were taking things way too far, and God sent in the rest of the world to beat down a country that was abusing God's people. And he used that for good to develop the nation of Israel, which is a prophecy come true. But every government that goes that direction, God's hand is still in control, and he could say no anytime he wants to. When the government begins to cease doing what it's supposed to be doing, which is honoring good and taking care of and punishing wicked, if they cease from doing that, they technically cease from being a government that God will bless. And he will begin to allow other things, other governments to come in to bring them down. We've seen that throughout history. That is a reoccurring event. When governments get out of control, God will bring in another government to take them out. That is how the world works. Should we honor the government that we are under? We have to, according to God, because he has ordained that. Now, if they begin to get out of hand, God will raise up another government to take their place that should be better, at least for a little bit. So that's just kind of how that works. But look in verse 2. Continuing on, it says, "For whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Now, what does that mean? That means don't be surprised if the government sentences you when you break it. You break the law, don't be surprised when you are fined or punished for it. When I broke the law of 30 days, guess what I had to do? I had to pay the penalty. And you know what I did? I paid the penalty. It's better than going to jail. I don't really want to see Brother Scott at jail. I'd rather see him at church. So here we have those things that if you speed, don't be surprised if you get a ticket. Right? Anybody here ever got a ticket? Uh-huh. Probably just about everybody, right? You broke the law. Yeah, me too. Me too. Maybe not on purpose. Sometimes maybe on purpose. But you know, the law found you out. That's what the law does. That's what the law does in the Old Testament too. The law will find you out. You break the law, you will be under the penalty of the law. And there's no forgiveness in the law. Really, is there? You have to go before the judge. And then the judge will determine, should you be let go or not? Will he have mercy on you, or do you have to pay the fine? Most of the time, we have to pay the fine. That's what happens when we break the law. And the Apostle Paul, he says, don't be surprised. If the government doesn't come looking for you and sentence you. Look in verse 3. He says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same." In general, these are true. Right? Don't you agree? Last weekend when there was a shootout, in Philadelphia, I think it was. You know who they were after? Bad guys. People that were doing drugs, And they began shooting at the police officers. Well, they retaliated with the whole weight of the law. And you know how it ended? Not well for those, for that guy who was in the standoff. It's not going to end well when we go against the law unless God is moving those forces against it. Rulers want good people. They want you to be a good tax-paying citizen. I want to grow my kids up, not to be children when they're grown, but to be good tax-paying citizens, doing, obeying to the best of their ability, the law, as long as it's in accordance with God's word. That's what God wants us to do. Look in verse 4. It says, "For he is the minister of God to thee for good. If thou wilt do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." That's one of the things. If the law begins to not do that, then they begin to go into some problems. Now, granted, I think we are struggling in this area in our country a little bit. That's just my opinion. And if my opinion is true, what you will see is you will start seeing kind of an uprising in the nation. And you will see other nations coming in and messing with our nation. So is that happening? Yeah, it is happening. So that means that our government really should get take that step back and say, what are we doing? Are we really fulfilling the task of the government? If they do, they are ordained of God. If not, they have stepped outside of God's ordaining power, and they are taking advantage of the position that God has placed them in. And when you do that, God will judge you. And he judges the higher powers even more than he does the lower powers. So anyway, that's basically this in a nutshell. Look, verse 5, it says, "Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake." So basically what he's saying is, do that which the law says, and you shouldn't have to worry too much about the law coming to get you. However, there are some times and we're going to get to it in a minute, hopefully. What do we do when the government doesn't do what's right? But before you get there, you've got to get to this other part that Jesus talked about, which is probably a much more important. Because if you'll do what Jesus says to do, render to God the things that are God's, this other stuff won't be very difficult. What I've seen is that the ones who do not render to God the things that are God's, they are the ones who are in rebellion even against the government, not just against God, but against anything that God has ordained, which happens to be the government. And that's what we see. So I want you to look back with me in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, because I want you to think about something for a second. That penny I showed you, that was the image approved by the United States government. It even says it on it, the United States of America. It's got the image of Lincoln on it. It's got the Lincoln Memorial on the back. All those things have the image of our nation, familiar images to us. Now Jesus says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's. Now there's something that you have that is in the image of God. Anybody know what that is? Yourself. When you were made in the image of Almighty God. So if you're supposed to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's according to the image, how about rendering to God the things that are God's according to the image? You were made in the image of Almighty God. From the day of your conception, you were made in the image of Almighty God. When you came forth from your mother, you were made and fashioned in the image of God. Every person was. What does that mean? That means that you are required to render to God the things that are God's. And if you don't, just like if you don't render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, that the law will come looking for you. If you do not render to God the things that are God's, the law of God will come looking for you. And you will be judged. And you will be weighed. Belteshazzar in the book of Daniel, he found that out the hard way. When he decided, I'm going to take things that are given to God and I'm going to use them for my own personal benefit. And I'm going to share the God's things with unholy men and let them have their little party. And he saw God's hand come forth out of nowhere and writing on the wall. Remember, y'all know that expression? The handwriting on the wall? That's where that comes from. That Belteshazzar saw God's hand come out of nowhere and write on the wall saying, this day you have been found wanting. You are lacking in the sight of God and you are judged. You were made in the image of God, and if you are not rendering to God the things that are God's, you will be judged. Does that make sense? I didn't make that up. Jesus told us that. Render to God's the things that are God's. Now look with me in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. 6:13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we have here the Apostle Paul who said, be subject to the government, but yield ye your instruments, these things right here. Do you understand what the image of God is? It's not this. It's not what you see. It's those things about me that you can't see. Like my mind. Like my spirit. The thing that drives my spirit, my heart. Those things are the image of God. And he says, I've given you something. I've given you a vessel to be able to do the work that I need you to work. That's your body. And he says, this is what you use to render to God the things that are God's. Now, if you don't understand what things are God's, well, if you're doing unrighteousness, unholiness, if you are given this vessel that should be doing work for God to sin, you're wrong. According to the Scriptures, you are wrong. You shouldn't be living like you're bound for the judgment hall, and you're going to, you know what the wages of sin is? It says, righteousness unto sin. The wages of sin is what? It's death. That's why he would say right here, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That if we would live a life that says, I am rendering to God the things that are God's, my life belongs to Him, He says, you have life, you are alive, you're not dead. But if you're living in sinfulness, and unholiness, unrighteousness, you will face the wage of death. You will have earned it, eternal separation from Almighty God. Is that what you want? If it is, keep holding back from God and not rendering to Him the things that are His. If His image is stamped on you, guess what? He owns you. Whether you like it or not. You see, Ecclesiastes, I can't remember the verse and chapter of it, but it says something like this, that when this vessel dies, that the spirit will return to the one whom gave it. You don't control that. You don't get to hold on to it. You know, I've seen those Looney Tunes cartoons, or whatever, maybe it's Disney or whatever, but you know, like Goofy's trying to hold on to his spirit, you know, now he doesn't want it to get away. You can hold on for as much as you can, but one day, you're not going to be able to. I think my granddad kind of did that. I mean, he knew Jesus Christ, but for some reason he didn't want to go when he kept holding on and it was painful to watch. He wouldn't let go. For some reason, he was afraid of what was coming next when he didn't have to be. And he was like that character trying to hold on. But it doesn't matter. He's not here today. His spirit returned to the one who gave it. And it appeared before God, and it was judged according to the things that he rendered in this world. What did he give to God? I don't know all the things that he did. But I do know what I'm doing. Do you know what you're doing? Are you rendering to God the things that are God? In Ecclesiastes 5:4-5, it is said like this: when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. That's what the preacher says in Ecclesiastes. When you make a promise to God, and you know, and that's what we do. When people, you know, those guys who've come up and they've said, you know, when I was young, I prayed, but I fell away. So basically what you're saying is you vowed a vow to God and you said, nope, I'm taking it back. That doesn't sound like a very good thing to do, does it? So somebody was lying. Well, when you get to Revelation 21 and verse 8, guess what that verse says? All liars will have their place in the lake that burns with fire. So somebody was lying. And God does not accept lying vows. He expects you to keep it. So if you were sincere, that means that you're not going to have that issue. If you sin, God's going to talk to you. He's going to draw. He is going to chastise you. That's what the Scripture says. He chastised His children because He's not going to just let you get away with stuff. That's what I do to my children when they're breaking the law of the house. They are chastised for it, some shape, form, or fashion. You know, when we can't communicate with words, then we have to do something a little bit more corporally. But whenever they can understand the words, then there's things taken away, privileges taken away. Maybe if they're weak in spirit, maybe the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak, then that means that they need a stronger flesh, and push-ups become a major contributor to their strengthening of the flesh, so that they could not break the law, if that's what it takes, whatever. But if I would do that to my children, don't you think God would do it to yours? To His? So if you're a child of God and you don't see the chastening of God on that person's life, they ain't saved. They don't belong to God. He's not just gonna spank His kids. He's like, he would tell the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. And we don't need to make excuses for people and say that there's something when they're not. When they are not rendering to God the things that are God's, I don't get to cast judgment and say, oh, you're going to be okay. You're not going to be okay. That's not what somebody who loves you is going to do. He's going to tell you, man, what you're doing is going to get you in trouble. I recently talked to a young man that's doing drugs, and he tried to explain to me how it was okay. And I'm like, it's not okay. What's okay about it? You're breaking the law, you're underage, and everybody that I've seen do this has turned into train wrecks, and you're well on your way to doing that. And you think that that's okay? And he wasn't happy with my words because I care about him and I want him to succeed. But he's more interested in rendering to the flesh and not to God. I wouldn't have done him a bit of good if I said, oh, it's okay, do all the drugs that you want. It's going to be fine. Man, he's going to destroy his life just like the rest of his family has done, and it's not worth it. And I care about him, and I want him to succeed, and I don't want him to do that. That's why it becomes important in your life to render to God the things that are God's, because how can you have that conversation with the ones who don't know God, who don't understand that they were created in the image of God? You see, we've got a generation that's growing up like that. You know, we were a nation founded on the principles of Almighty God. When they drew up our Constitution, they drew it up in the image that God presented in the Scriptures. The Ten Commandments, what we happen to have, a Bill of Rights that contains 10 Bills of Rights. Very similar. Many similarities. But when the people of God cease from giving to God the things that are God's, you will see a nation who ceases to be a nation that represents people that are giving to the image of God. Does that make sense? As we cease to be like what God tells us to be, so will our nation cease to be the way that God has designed it from the beginning. That is what we are seeing now. If you want our nation to be successful and to be Christian-like, it starts with you. It starts with me. Psalms 33 and verse 12 will say it like this: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Does that verse make sense to you? Does it mean anything to you? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Can you honestly look at our nation and say, our nation says God is the Lord? What our nation says, God bless us. Bless our iniquity. Bless our sin. And this is what I can tell you God is saying: no! I've given you chance after chance after chance. It's time for you guys to get back into the book and call upon the name of the Lord. The Scripture says this: if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. And we need a nation, and we need people in the nation who will call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. But they don't say, God is my Lord. Because if God is your Lord, means that you're rendering to God the things that are God's. Yeah, you'll render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, because that's just, you want Caesar to leave you alone so that you can actually render to God the things that are God's. And that's what the second part of that says: the people He hath chosen for His own inheritance. God says, if you've chosen me, if you're rendering to me the things that are mine, you're my inheritance. You're chosen. Read Revelation chapter 12. I think it's like verse, 10 or 11. It says, who is he talking to? Those that are faithful. Those that are chosen. God looks at you because you're rendering to God. You are doing your best to render to God the things that are His. He says, you're chosen. You're going to see some mighty things. I'm going to take care of you. That's what God says. That's out of Psalms 33 and verse 12. Aren't you excited that God would look at you and say, you're my person. You're my people. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now we get into an issue. What happens when that doesn't? What are you supposed to do? Do you continue to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's when they are adamantly against God's inheritance? This is what Peter would say in Acts chapter 5 and 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God other than men." If the nation comes along and says, "Well, you're not allowed to preach everything that's in the Bible," you know what we should do? Render to God the things that are His. That's His word. I ought to obey God rather than man. They have violated their ordinance with Almighty God. God will judge that government that says that I'm not allowed to live by God's word. It's already happening in some of our states. If they come along and they say, I can't talk about this or I can't talk about that, that's in the Scripture, I ought to obey God rather than men, no matter what. Because judgment with God is so much worse than the judgment with men. Now, that doesn't mean that I won't get out of it. That may not mean that you're going to get out of it. You may face some persecutions, but this is what I've found out, that God is faithful. And I can trust Him. And I can lean on His words and His promises, that if I give to Him, He who has called me from the beginning is faithful to complete what He's put inside of me. He can hold me. He can take care of me. Yes, the worst that they could do is they could take this vessel away from me, but they can't take away my mind and my soul and my spirit, and it will return to God, who will judge me according to the things that I have rendered to God. That's what we should be preparing for in this life. Jesus told those hypocrites that are trying to trip Him up, "You guys just don't get it, do you? You keep rendering to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and you think that God's going to weigh you by what you believe is good works. Your good works is gross and disgusting to God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We have all failed. We've all sinned. We've all missed the mark. Where does that leave me? That leaves me in the judgment seat of Almighty God. But when I've actually rendered to Him the things that are His, He has mercy, and He says that there is a propitiation for my sin. There's a payment for my sin, and it was offered by Jesus Christ. He died so that my sins could be forgiven. Now, if I am not rendering to Jesus the things that are His, don't expect when you get to heaven that He's going to give you something that doesn't belong to you. You didn't want it while you were here? Don't expect to get it when you get to heaven. You will have judgment. The law will fall forcibly on you. The rock that was cut out without hands will fall on you and crush you in the pit of hell. And you don't have to go there. You don't belong there. But that is where you will end up. If you do not render to God the things that are God's. And that is where our nation will end up. If the people in our nation do not render to God the things that are God. You may ask, well, Brother Mitch, how do I do that? It just so happens that the end of the chapter 12 of Mark tells us. Look in verse 41. It's just a couple of verses there. In chapter 12 of Mark, it says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And He said unto His disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast in the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all she had, even all her living." Do you understand what Jesus is saying? You want to know how to render to God the things that are God's? Give Him everything about yourself. Cast it all in. When this plate was passed earlier, you may have put something in it, you may not. But this is what you need to put in it. You need to put yourself in it. I wish we had one that was human size. So you could just step in it. I'm not going to step in it. I don't fit very well. But that's what we have to do. Render to God the things that are God's. Put yourself in it. Put yourself in the offering plate. And say, God, whatever it is that You would have me to do, I say yes right now. It doesn't matter what it is. If you ask a question about it, it's not, God, why? But it's which way. You want me to go? Which way? You want me to jump? How high? You want me to give? How much? That'll be the only follow-up questions that you have. Ask it for more details about how to accomplish the mission that God has given to you in your life. He's given you all something. Some unique gift. Some unique talent. Render to God the things that are God's. As a song leader and the pianist would come, would you pray with me? Dear Lord, I just ask this day that You would help us, Lord, to understand how we can give to You the things that are Yours. That You would help us to do that. We live in a culture that teaches the opposite of that. Lord, help us to understand better. Help us to be better. Help us to seek you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to give ourselves fully, 100% to you, just like this widow who cast in everything that she had because she loved you. And that was the best that she knew that she could do at that time. Lord, would you show us how we could serve you the way that we need to, that we would be willing to give ourselves in the offering plate of Almighty God. Guide us, Lord, in these things, in this understanding. And Lord, help us to apply it to our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.